You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to you. It is Wednesday. Hey, it is Wednesday. Boomer, it is. Go for it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
All right, well, tell you what. Let me jump over to my comments. I gotta say, as I look around at today's society and some of the cultural issues we're facing, isn't it true half measures and the fear of doing hard things that never produces much, does it? And I got a question. Are we raising the next generation to lay foundations of success built on hard work and sacrifice? Or are we allowing the coddling of a whole generation that will then go on to be nothing but needy coddlers themselves? I mean, what is also worth looking at, too, is the fact that when someone goes all in, when someone really commits to their calling, their cause, and their intent to push through fear, they can create a ripple effect that can go well beyond their own original intent. I mean, you can call them second and third order effects, if you will, but there are good things that can happen only because the first good hard thing actually happened. But those second and third order good things, they never happen well as a result of half measures on the front end. A few years back, I had the honor of attending the Merrill's Marauders Association's annual gathering when they met in Huntsville. If you're not familiar with Merrill's Marauders, they were a legendary deep reconnaissance fighting force during World War II. They were comprised solely of volunteers who answered a call for hazardous duty. The Marauders went deep into the jungles of Burma to fight the Japanese tooth and nail in deep penetration operations, sometimes scaling mountains, packing their supplies in on mules, having their sustainment supplies dropped in by parachute. They became legends because of their ferocity and determination, and to this day, the Merrill's Marauders are a part of the official heritage of the U.S. Army Rangers. In over 5 months of continuous combat, the Marauders went 750 miles into enemy territory without any support. Their ranks were devastated by combat action and disease. Of the original 2,750 men who entered the jungle, only two came out without wounds or major illness. Only 130 of the original men were considered combat effective at the end of their time in the jungle. Wow. There are very few of them left. And one of those men was a legend in his own right named Logan Weston. So I met Colonel Weston that day in Huntsville. I was glad to get him to sign a copy of his book for me. It's called The Fightin' Preacher. It's one of my favorite books of all time. It's posted on our website at the rightsideradio.org recommended reading list. Weston served through World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He eventually became one of the founders of the U.S. Army Special Forces, the Green Berets. He was humble. He was quiet. You would never know that he was one of our nation's most decorated combat veterans. He had 2 Distinguished Service Crosses, 5 Silver Stars, 6 Bronze Stars, 6 Purple Hearts, and the Legion of Merit. But it was what he was and who he was on the inside that made his book so incredible. You see, Logan Weston was a Christian. He was a man who wanted to preach. When World War II broke out, he was in seminary, but he volunteered to be a chaplain, and immediately he was put in the infantry. Go figure. But it didn't stop him from being fully what he felt that God wanted him to be. Weston took a Bible with him everywhere he went. Even in the deepest reaches of the Burmese jungle, Weston kept a Bible in a pouch on his ammo belt, had a little silver chaplain's cross pinned to the outside of it. His men took to calling him the Fightin' Preacher, hence the name of his book. He led devotions before battle, and after one miraculous escape from the Japanese, his native guide literally looked at him and said he wanted to know Weston's God, and Weston led him to Christ right there on the battlefield. But there's one story that really sticks with me. Weston wrote that they were rarely able to take prisoners because the Japanese were so fanatical. But on one occasion, a Japanese sniper was shot out of a tree and Weston was interrogating him. The prisoner looked up and he saw that cross I told you about on his belt. And he asked Weston, was he a Christian? The prisoner said that just days earlier, he had sighted an American patrol and he was trying to take out the American patrol's officer. He sighted in on what he learned later was Weston. In a bright flash of light, right as he was sighting in about to pull the trigger, a bright flash of light came off of Weston's belt. It was the sun flashing off the silver cross on his Bible pouch, and it spoiled the shot. But the Japanese sniper said missionaries in Japan had led him to Christ, and he converted to Christianity right before the war, so he decided right then and there not to shoot Weston, despite the fact that he had a clear shot. The book is filled with stories like that. But here, it begs the question. Let me go back to my original point about half measures and second and third order effects. What I just told you, that story, it begs the question, what if Logan Weston had taken his faith with half measures? No one would have thought a thing about him not putting that cross on his belt or not living out his faith so actively. He was in combat. Nobody would have questioned, but he did. And the second order effect was that it saved his life. But what about the Japanese soldier? What if some missionary had decided to stay home? What if some missionary decided to do less, but they didn't? Some missionary went to a foreign land and a soul was saved, and the second order effect was that Logan Weston was not shot. Well, Logan Weston went on to save countless other lives because there were no half measures by he or others. But in today's world, there's a constant tendency to want to rescue upcoming generations from the hard and the uncomfortable. We give out participation trophies, we provide safe spaces and allow trigger warnings, all of which create half measures. A whole segment of snowflakes in our society has been allowed to live behind fear of microaggressions and taking offense at differing opinions such that they intend to shut down all civil discourse rather than simply face it head on. There's a book called The Coddling of the American Mind, and in that book, authors Greg Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt point out, quote, here it is, ready? Quote, if you teach students that intention doesn't matter and you also encourage students to find more things offensive, and you tell them that whoever says or does things that they find offensive are aggressors who have committed acts of bigotry against them, then you are probably fostering feelings of victimization, anger, and hopelessness in your students, and they will come to see the world as a hostile place where things never get better. All right, me talking again, I will add to that quote that the creation of such a victim mentality, the shutting down of the hard in favor of the comfortable, it creates a life filled with half measures, from which we never get to see the kind of fruit that leads to second and third order effects that then lead to men like Logan Weston changing their world, simply because of someone else who first did something fearless and hard. Half measures, y'all. Half measures never work. We've got to teach the new generation that doing the hard thing and not always being comfortable is what brings us to second and third order effects that can change the world. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And by the way, Logan Weston, man, I think the world of him, just in general. But reading his book is something that can almost leave you in awe. And that book is, by the way, it's posted on the recommended reading list at rightsideradio.org. I encourage you to check it out. It's called The Fighting Preacher. Man, it's worth a read. I heard it just came out again. You can get it on Amazon. But nonetheless, it's worth it. It's a book filled with doing the hard thing and finding not just what you intended to have happen, but even the second and third order effects that are also so worth having. And if we don't do the hard things on the front end, we never get to see it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. We got some stuff laid on for you today. I can't wait to have some of these phone calls. Of course, I love doing the Grand Council every week, too. That segment goes by so fast, Boomer, don't you know? With the Grand Council, it flies.
Oh, it flies by.
Like, it's a whole half hour and just gazip, it's just gone.
Yeah.
But that's because we're enjoying it so much. Got a bunch of activity on the text line. Had a bunch from my phone, too. Apparently, I hit a nerve with that monologue a moment ago. Also, too, on the story about Merrill's Marauders. So, Brian from Huntsville. Where'd it go? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville just texted in and said he's planning on buying the Fighting Preacher, I think is what he's saying. He points out, too, the book, Heinlein's book, Starship Troopers, the book, not the movie. The movie was like 90210 goes to guns. It was just weird. But the book, Starship Troopers, everyone fights, even the chaplain. It was a pretty cool book. But yeah, hey, Brian, by the way, if you're checking out, if you want to go to the rightsideradio.org recommended reading list tab, you can actually click on the link to The Fighting Preacher. It has a picture of the cover. You click on it. I think it goes right to Amazon or wherever you can order it, I believe. So anyway, this might shortcut you there if you're looking for a copy of it. Along with other books on the list. Allie from Athens just texted in, says she was looking for something for her. She does a soldier column in Athens Now on a regular basis, and she just texted in and said, she said, don't sue me for plagiarism. I'm the middle of publication day trying to come up with something for my soldier column, and you just gave it to me. So thank you, Allie. Proud to serve. Proud to be a part of it. Thank you very much for that. John from Huntsville asked about the railroad strike. I don't know anything new on that now, John, except that there's some indication they won't strike simply because they know that both sides are losers if they do. But Congress may be taking action, but I don't know any more than that. And then, brother, we got a bunch of folks texting in. I had some texting me on my phone, but on the text line, we got multiples that, I mean, that camel, he's just the dude. I mean,
he's the dude.
And who was it?
Yeah,
one of them.
All of them.
Awesome. Paul from Athens. Yeah, you read those. Paul from Athens said he meant to tell us that a guy named Chris Sullivan, who plays Toby in This Is Us, is the voice of the camel. I did not know that. I thought the camel was talking. I did not know.
I thought it was just the camel. You ruined it.
I think we need to play it again and play it louder. What do you think?
I like that idea.
Let's do it. Play it louder. Let's go.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo! All right. Now, nice. And Tracy from Athens liked that, plus the fact that we played the Black Crowes a minute ago. So, yeah.
There we go.
Tracy, you and I have the same taste. All right. We got plenty laid on for you today. So, listen, we're going to talk about a variety of things. A bunch of you guys that are the green suiters and veterans and people who care about military policy, just in general, this first segment's for you, national defense. We're gonna talk about some things that are happening, some good, some bad, some just kind of awareness kind of stuff, like FYI, heads up kind of stuff, about military in general. National defense, that's number one of the triple dipper. We'll cover that in a minute. But then we're going to jump into the second part of the dippers for the day, conservative leadership. You know, I'm looking forward to this. So my friend Andy Roth, he and I met when I attended a conference as a Club for Growth fellow, and he has now moved over and helped to set up the State Freedom Caucus Network, which is going to be just, I think it's going to make a dent in what we're seeing in some states where literally the state-level legislation is driving the train. I mean, keep in mind, state legislatures set election policy, redistricting, taxation. All of it happens out of your state capitals a lot of times. And then big doings for us. You know, we try to do these interviews that we set things up for you to hear from somebody who's, you know, outside the box, somebody bigger than this show. And we've had some great ones on here. We had Ted Nugent. We had Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. We had Buzz Patterson, who wrote the book Dereliction of Duty, working in the Clinton administration. Yesterday? What day did we do
no,
that?
No, it
day
was...
Day before yesterday.
Yeah, it was Monday.
Okay, so Monday we completed... thank you, I'm sorry. Monday we completed an interview with multi-Grammy Award-winning and Dove Award-winning longtime Christian recording artist Stephen Curtis Chapman. And it was so great. I mean, that his music has been a part of my family's life for, you know, 20, 30 years. Literally 30 years, really, because my kids were just babies. We started listening to his stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, Stephen Curtis Chapman did an interview with him yesterday or Monday, and we're going to air it, what, Thursday at 3 o'clock, Boomer? Is that right?
That's right.
Thursday, 3 o'clock. Boomer has now finished syncing up all of the audio-video on it so that it lines up with our commercial breaks and got it ready. You didn't have to bleep anything out like you did on Ted Nugent.
No bleeping.
No bleeping on this one. That was good.
Made it a lot easier.
All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.